Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Laura Essay is a dedicated advocate for justice and compassion. With a law degree from Creighton University School of Law and experience as an assistant attorney general, her debut novel, Side Effects Are Minimal, illuminates the opioid crisis. Laura infuses the story with raw emotion, exposing the insidious forces behind the opioid epidemic and the devastating consequences felt by individuals, families, and society. Side Effects Are Minimal transcends mere courtroom drama, weaving together the themes of justice, morality, and the human toll of addiction. And Laura Essay, author of the riveting Side Effects Are Minimal, a novel, is our guest on This Week in America. Laura, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have
you with us.
Thank
you for having me. I'm looking forward to being here.
I am looking forward to having this conversation. Such a wonderful job with this book. Let's start by the inspiration. Where did this idea come from to write Side Effects Are Minimal?
Well, I was working on a few projects, and then, to be honest, the news, television news, newspapers, I saw a magazine article, and I then started thinking, this is everywhere. Is it really, or is it just being overplayed? Is it media running with something? And so I started looking into it more, and it latches onto you. It grips you because it is so devastating, and it is everywhere. No one is exempt from this situation.
You're true. You basically pick up a newspaper a day or watch a newscast. There's something unrelated to the opioid problem. I would think this would be a very difficult, complex, troubling issue to research. Talk about the research and how much of it maybe is what you saw from a legal standpoint. How much research went into Side Effects Are Minimal?
It was predominantly the research. Then that's what kept it going. Proverbial get sucked down the rabbit hole because you start researching a story that you hear on the news and see, and then, okay, it happens somewhere else, and then it's somewhere else, and then you start to see that it is not a certain gender, it's not tied to that, it's not tied to a race, it's not tied to any socioeconomic status. It can be anybody, anywhere. It can find you and devastate you, and as I found more and more situations, everything led to another. To it's a big web that people are trapped in, and it could be the CEO of a company who goes in for shoulder surgery, or it can be grandma who had some cancer pain. Opioids used to be restricted to just post-operative care and cancer and those types of situations. And then a letter was written from a physician to a medical journal suggesting that, you know what, this could be used for chronic pain. It's not that addictive. So the pendulum swung the other way, and they were using it as a Band-Aid. And then we've started to see over the last several decades the devastation it can cause. And I would come across statistics that horrified me, and then I'd want to know more about it. 85% of the heroin addicts, you go to a city and you're going to see the drug addicts on the street corners, in the alleys. 85% of those people started with a legal medical prescription.
And that's staggering. And they probably heard the word side effects are minimal. That probably came up at some point. I love the title of the book. It is so descriptive of what we're all told as patients as we're looking into, you know, the prescriptions and take this, are concerned about long range, or well, side effects are minimal. That's the name of Laura's book. Laura's website is laurasa.com. Book is going to be available, what, in July, but you can do pre-orders now. And depending on when you're listening to the program, grab your copy, receiving excellent reviews. Once you have the story in mind, you've got the story you want to tell. Now you need the characters to tell it. Let's start with the protagonist, Claire Hewitt, who's got a personal story related to this as well.
Yes. She went through a very similar situation when she was a child. She lost her sister, and it was all kind of questionable. Was it the opioids? What really happened? So she's lived her whole life with this guilt that she could have, should have done something, seen something, made a difference. And that's where a lot of people are today. My manuscript, my novel, does not start with the addict. It doesn't build on the addict and what the addict goes through and how they got sucked into it. The person has already passed away when the story starts. And it focuses on what the rest of society goes through, the family, the legal system, the physicians, the community, and what they go through. And Claire is struggling with, where does she draw the line in prosecuting this case? Is she going to find some redemption for her sister and her past, or is she focusing on the right things? And where does the big pharmaceutical companies play into this? She's confronted with all these questions that bring back a great deal of pain for her. But like I said, this story is based on true events. And somebody said, well, it's just the facts, right? The facts are, every fact in there is true. But it's also a lot of true stories. There are thousands of people. This is their true story, too. Change the sport, change the situation.
Yes.
And it's what happened to them.
From Claire's standpoint, she's looking for justice. She's juggling that with this prominent Philadelphia family. We'll talk about them in a second, but they have revenge on mind. That's what they're after. How does Claire go about that delicate balance between justice and revenge?
Very carefully. She she's a female, a new female attorney, partner in this firm, so she really feels the need to prove herself that she is as good as they think she is, but her guilt is forefront, and so she has to contain that so she doesn't slide into revenge, because revenge will accomplish nothing. It won't give you the answers. It'll give you maybe a verdict, but it won't give you the answers on how this happened and why it happened, and let's not let it happen again. And so she struggles with that. Like I said, she has a little bit of the young female partner proving herself in the legal realm there, but balancing justice and the facts and the research that she has to do and the precedents she has to find to prosecute this case and not strictly focus on revenge and keeping Clifford Satori in check. That's the father who lost his daughter.
Yeah, and talk about the Satori family. They are very prominent. They are out to get retribution, revenge in this case. Talk about that. It's not a family, a middle, lower class family trying to get justice for a family member. This is one of the most powerful families in Philadelphia.
Definitely. He owns and controls so much of Philadelphia, and he knows power, and he gets his way, and he's always been successful, and he hurts. He is devastated at this loss of his daughter, and his knee-jerk reaction is, I'm taking someone down then. I am out for revenge. They're going to pay. And so again, we can't judge him, because how do we know how we would react when we are suffering that much?
Exactly.
And that's what he's doing. And I wanted to emphasize their prominence to point out that even they were not removed from this situation. It can happen, it just over and over again, that it can happen to anybody. And the Satoris are the perfect example. They can buy anything, but they could not buy their daughter back. She was gone. And they didn't see it. They were very attentive parents. They were focused on their family. They were a solid family, and they missed it. And that's what opioids do.
The book is Side Effects Are Minimal, a novel by Laura Essay, E-S-S-A-Y. Her website, lauraessay.com. A link on our website will take you directly to Laura's website. Talk about the drug company involved in this. They have so much at stake. A verdict here, a multi, probably billion dollars worth of lawsuits coming on down the line. Claire's up against some very powerful people who basically will stop at nothing to get their way. How does she go about taking on this powerful company?
Determination, stamina, and not giving up. Those are the old cliches of how you get to the finish line. That's what she does. And it's very similar to things we've seen in the United States with pharmaceutical companies when they get a drug. And, you know, we saw it with the Purdue, and there's been movies on that. They get a drug, they focus on that, and they focus on their success and the money. And it's hard because it's so expensive and it's so time consuming, it's hard to confront a big giant like that. And that was the point of this, is pointing out the point of the novel of having them, is that it can happen if you stick with it and if everyone sticks together and you just try to find a stop to it. Like I said, it happened with Purdue. We saw that situation.
Yes.
With other chemicals in DuPont in 2000, I want to say 10-ish, somewhere in there. They paid millions and millions for their problem. Little attorney fought DuPont and won. It's just, that's kind of the story that we've seen before, and it's just a reiteration that it can happen. If you are in a situation where you are in the right, you can take on the big farm D's and come out ahead and expose what they've done. And they've done deceitful things. But how do you really find those deceitful things? Do we know the chemistry behind the opioids? Do we know what's happening to that detail? That's where persistence and research and sticking with that and just keep digging and digging. And that's what Claire did.
In your novel, Side Effects Are Minimal, you explore the transformation of legal opioid production into illicit fabrications. You touched on that earlier. Discuss the research project and that aspect of the story, how this started off as something to be used in a few cases, effectively in those cases, but spread out to something that was and is commonly used.
Yes, the situation is that everybody's chemistry, biology is different. When you take opioids, the longer you take them, they change the makeup of your brain. It's not the same as before you took the opioids. That is a medical fact. And so I'm on the opioids. Well, it took one and it relieved my pain, and then two. And now two doesn't relieve my pain, so I need to take three, because that's the brain and the chemistry in my body is changing. So how I feel pain is different, and what I need to alleviate the pain is different. And then my doctor won't refill my script anymore because I'm taking way too many. But heroin, I can get a hold of that. And that's cheaper. That's a fraction of what it, and it's the same thing. And that's why I said earlier that 85% of the heroin addicts we see in the back alleys or in news, pictures that they've printed in newspapers and those situations, we all know that vision that we see. 85% of them started with a legal medical prescription. And like I said, the addiction can happen with a few pills in a month. If you're on opioids more than 3 months, your chances of being addicted skyrocket. And all of us are different on what it would take. And then the extremes we'd go to get that medication. We go to the heroin. And now we've all seen in the papers how heroin is laced with all sorts of,
yes,
the fentanyl, and it leads to that. And it spirals. It just spirals and spirals and spirals.
It's become a sort of a multi-system failure, and you talk about that extensively in the book, Aggressive Deceptive Marketing Practices by Pharmaceutical Companies. Let's talk about the pharmaceutical company. One of the villains you have in there is Dr. Phil Westcott. He's a real character, but I can see a composite of so many people that are probably in these positions at drug companies. Explain him, and he's like sort of a god. He rules in the pharmaceutical labs, and he doesn't want to be questioned, does he?
No. And you often see that. I have many family and friends that are in medicine that will readily say it's very difficult for someone to question because, number one, we don't know. I'm not in healthcare, so I cannot question the development of any drug when they develop it. And those that do develop and they know all that, they could become a Phil Westcott. And Phil Westcott actually says in the book, side effects are minimal. And he believes that, because he can't get over himself. And I think when you get in these very powerful positions of developing these drugs that bring in billions of dollars, not that all do. I mean, I don't want to paint this that physicians and scientists and all pharmaceutical companies are the bad guys, but there are some, that this can happen, and it has happened. We've seen it happen over and over, that it could be very difficult to get over yourself. And I make Phil very aggressive and odd. And I actually use him as the character who wrote the letter. The letter is true. It was written to a medical journal. And I can't remember the exact date off the top of my head because I had so many dates, but it was written in the 80s and saying, you know what, we can use this for chronic pain. I've done it, and it's not that addictive. And it was that letter that has been cited over 600 times as the start of the opioid crisis in America. And then the scientist that actually wrote the letter, the doctor, came back and said, it was misinterpreted. That is not what I meant. In my situation, I believe it was 12 patients in a hospital setting, there was not addiction. And I think it was four out of 12. So that in that situation, not sending every patient home with 3 months worth of 40 pills a day that's not what he meant. So he came back and said that. But that's how it was interpreted. And that's what happened with our prescription process, was that it was opiophilia. And then it went from opiophilia to opiophobia, where then you can't get. And we're kind of balancing. We're trying to, it's much more difficult. But I still hear of and encounter people that go home from the hospital with 40, 50 opioids.
I was just reading a headline last night in the newspaper, and it was talking about the opioid crisis among young people. And that's like growing dramatically. And there are so many opioid statistics you can talk about. You'll get a flavor for what's happening in Laura's book, Side Effects Are Minimal, this dramatic story that plays out in the courtroom. Another villain is Dana Massetti. Talk about Dana and the role that Dana plays in all of this. Corporate attorney.
Dana is just a deceptive character. She's Claire's nemesis and was back from law school days. There was a tie in there. But Dana is the stereotypic, I'm all about myself. I want to win this case and I really don't care what's involved.
Yes.
It doesn't matter to me. And it's to me. And she just wants to look good. And so she kind of, she blows over. She just brushes over the problem. She wants to camouflage it, which is still happening. People just want to camouflage it and blow over the situation and not see that these are individuals. These are moms and dads and brothers and sisters that are being destroyed, are being lost. And Dana is just, she's kind of a comical character in that we can all relate to, comical in a negative way, but we can all relate to a Dana in our life. We've encountered somebody kind of where Phil's all wrapped in himself because he wants to be the big guy. Dana already knows she is. And she's, you know, thinks Claire's just a small town little attorney that she can take care of because she's representing the pharmaceutical company and she's as powerful as they are.
Well, it's fun to watch with that in mind, Claire and her job of cross-examination on Dr. Phil as well. It's interesting. She really goes after these people. Could you see a little bit of yourself out there in cross-examination? Were you getting into the character as you were doing this?
Yeah. And it was, I mean, only because it's fun because when you want to expose that side of them, you can ask things that you know that they will be flustered because they are not focused on the truth. And so you would ask them something because let them bury themselves. Let them sink their credibility just by a few questions that they cannot handle.
The book is Side Effects Are Minimal. Our guest is the author, Laura Essay, E-S-S-A-Y, her website, lauraessay.com. And you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Some of the themes you talk about in the book, accountability, responsibility, a lot of things besides just a great story that you tell, there are lessons for all of us, aren't there? What do you hope the takeaway is when people finish Side Effects Are Minimal?
There are just a few things that I hope the dialogue increases. I hope you read this book and it starts a dialogue with family, with physicians, with schools, with your government, with your legislators about this problem. We need to face it and not think it's not there because the ending of the story, and I don't want to talk about that because that's a spoiler, is devastating. And it is happening, but nobody talks about it. It is happening the same way that the whole downward slide of opioids is happening. But this, and that's kind of what ended the research. I thought, all right, now I have the story because I could not find how the way this, the situation that ends my story, I can't find how many times that happens. I don't know how many times a week, a month, a year. I don't, because they're not publishing those numbers. You'd have to look at every newspaper in the United States and every city and every county to find out if it happened there and what's going on. And it is devastating. And like I said, that's also occurring with this crisis. I also hope that people take away the fact that they understand it could be them. I could, you know, fall off my bicycle and need knee surgery, and in the hospital they use those. That could be me. Nobody's immune to it. But I also hope that people will look at the drug addicts with kinder eyes, because you don't know that heroin addict that you passed going to the theater that was in the back alley. He could have been the CEO of a company last month, and I mean, you don't know where, if 85% of the heroin addicts started with a legal script, nobody wakes up and wants to be a drug addict.
Exactly.
They are in a situation that they did not want to be in. And if we just realize that we don't know how they got there, so we can't judge how their situation.
One of the failures in this, too, is probably the government, Let's talk about lack of oversight, regulation. You've got pharmaceutical companies that have giant lobbyist fundraising activities for legislators locally as well as nationally. What's the role of the government, and is that changing any as all of this unfolds with the crisis? Do you see any changes in governmental oversight?
I think so, yes. I think there needs to be government involvement in solving the situation. I do see changes because I know, I mean, now Narcan, which stops an opioid overdose, is in a lot of schools. It's allowed in all schools. What schools have gotten it so far, I'm unaware of that. But I do know that now we have Narcan in schools because they're seeing the problem and the situation. And I think that as far as accountability, I think everybody is accountable. Down to the patient, I'm accountable for what I put in my mouth. My doctor is accountable for what he suggests I do. The oversight and the government regulating the pharmaceutical companies, they are responsible for those regulations. And obviously, it's not working. So then things need to change. And perhaps legislation is the first stop. Like I said, legislation is what got Narcan into our schools, so that we can save many more lives. But to prevent that from starting, there needs to be perhaps legislation at the development level. And like I said, I'm not in healthcare, so I don't know what regulations are there and what aren't. I do know that there's some, but the physicians would have to report themselves that they prescribe these drugs on these times. And I don't know how that's followed through. I do know it's much more difficult for physicians to prescribe certain opioids now than it used to be. I can't call my doctor, even if I saw him 6 months ago, and say, hey, you know that twinge I had in my back? That's back. Can I get a script for that? You can't do that without going in for the appointment, face-to-face seeing them, and then they have to call it in and go through certain requirements. So that's gotten better. So I think people are realizing there needs to be change, and I think everybody plays a part.
We've got a couple minutes left in the program. Let's talk about, this is the first novel for you. Boy, you're reaching a lot of people, and you are starting a national dialogue about the crisis, how we got here, how we can get out of here, and just what you were talking about. It's not sort of the stereotypical drug addict that we're talking about. It's regular people that went in for what started off to be a relatively simple pain and all of a sudden becomes an addiction. Talk about the power of storytelling, because by using, you touched lives as a part of the legal community. Now you're touching lives as an author. Talk about the power of storytelling. You're reaching so many people with a very positive message on a problem, a real problem.
That is what I love to do, and I hoped to do with this, is if you have a situation that really affects everybody, then you need to tell a story that will interest people. They, you know, they don't want to read a news report. They don't want to go down to the beach with a news report. They want to go down with the beach with a novel, and they want to get to know Claire. They want to see what she's going
yes.
through, and they want to know what happened to Emma, and they want to feel exactly how Margot. Claire saw her mother in Margot, who's the mother who lost her child in this story, and she sees her mother's face. She sees her mother's tears. Everybody, I think, can relate to that in a certain way. Everyone has felt pain in different situations, so they can relate to these characters. And then when they understand what these characters have gone through and are going through, and they realize, ooh, that could be my sister. That could be me. We need to wake up to what is happening here. And I want those people who are suffering through this night and living the nightmare, I want them to realize they're not alone. There are so many, there are thousands of them in our country that are dealing with this situation, and they're not to blame for it either. You cannot see what somebody else is doing when they're taking a medication. You can't see the changes in their brain. You can't see the changes in their attitude. That's not on you. I want them to realize that by reading this story. And at the same time, I want the people who think, you know what, that's a big problem, and I'm just so glad I'm not one of them. You could be.
Yes.
could be one of them. There isn't a them. It's not an us and them. It's all of, there is an us. There's not a them.
Yes.
It's all of us. That, and I want people to realize that. And again, I think telling the story, and I hate to say in a fun way, but in an engaging, it will,
yes.
It's in an engaging way that then you want to see what happens. You want to see more and more. And I like having, you can't predict the end. You can't say, oh, well, okay, this is obviously how it's going to end. Because I do, and I've had people who've read it say they did not really see the end. And that was my publisher. That's what she got her. She goes, yeah, I like that. and it's true. That is how people deal with these situations.
Well, you bring a very important topic to life with real people, relatable scenarios. It's not a documentary. It takes all those facts and brings it alive in a storytelling form that's such an excellent job for Laura Essay. First novel, Side Effects Are Minimal, or website lauraessay.com. Take a couple seconds here. First one's out there. You're promoting it. No pressure on what's going to be number two, but are you working on something? Do you have ideas for the next novel?
Yes, I do. It's not on opioids. I am not the opioid writer. I'm not that because, like I said, I'm not in healthcare. That's not my niche. But I am working on something else that I think will be kind of eye-opening too.
Well,
and something that people can relate to. We don't walk around in bubbles. We all share similar situations. And it's warming and it's freeing when you read a story about a situation that so close to yours. And again, this one will be based on a true story. I mean, it's also based on something true.
Well, looking forward to that. We will enjoy what Laura's written for us now. Side Effects Are Minimal. Laura Essay, her website, lauraessay.com. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And hopefully when the next book is out, we'll have a chance to talk about that as well. Laura, thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you.
Excellent job in presenting a problem and getting us all to thinking. The power of storytelling displayed in Laura's book, Side Effects Are Minimal. All of this information available, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.